Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock, and I have Bobby Welch with me.
Hey, everybody. Pat, how's it going?
It's great. And this is a question that this topic today is on everybody's mind: how to do more while working less. So the famous issue has to do with productivity improvement and what are the key elements of actually improving one's productivity. And I guess let's start out with talking about it's all about working smart and not harder. So what are your thoughts on how to work smart and what are those components that improve really productivity?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll maybe start off with saying, for heaven's sake, quit trying to do it by working harder. And the reason why is there's actually a diminishing return. Science has proven this. Once you go past a 45-hour work week, every hour that you work actually yields you fewer and fewer results. In fact, at around, it was, I can't remember, it was like 74, 75 hours, it's, you're only around the output of somebody who worked 50 hours. So there's diminishing returns, and you can't work hard enough to make up for managing your productivity in other areas. You've got to bring the work smarter apart, you know, and that's probably a good segue, because you also can't just focus on a single silver bullet. A lot of times when I'm talking to clients and we're talking about their productivity and I'm like, you know, what's standing in your way? Like, answer number one, I hear, you know, time blocking. There must have been so many books written on time blocking, and every speaker talks about it. And so everybody just thinks, if I could time block, I'd be there. And what we actually know is you have to think bigger than, that's a tactic. That's all that is. That's a habit and a tactic, and it takes more than that. There's three areas that I actually teach my people to focus on. And the first one is you got to manage your energy. So energy management, if you don't have the energy and the vibrancy to come in and move swift and think clear and act fast, you'll never be as productive. And we could talk about each one of these one by one. Then you've got to create some focus habits. You know, these are things that actually help you with that new energy that you have, get more done in a block of time, in a certain block of time. And then the last one, especially if you're a manager or you rely on somebody else to get results, you know, like every loan officer does, you need a processor to help you. You need an assistant sometimes, is you need to build good support structures. And it's a formula for success, not a single tactic for success.
Well, that was a lot that you said, I have to say, but I think we need to delve in deeply about how do you do, and I agree with you 100%, and the research supports it, that the first step isn't the function of time blocking, but is understanding your energy levels. And certainly what I see is that most people kind of know their energy levels, but don't really know their energy levels. And what are some of the things that you would suggest that someone could do to understand their energy levels? Because you are not focused completely the same amount throughout the day. So is there any type of, I guess, maybe assessments or any time, again, not assessments, but anything that would help them do that to figure out what is their highest level?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, where you would look is you would take a look at your practices on taking care of yourself. And I'd say the top two, there's three that I work with my guys on, but the top two is you've actually got to make sure that you're recharging and replenishing. And so recharging is pretty basic. It's taking some breaks. You know, you've got the big break at night, sleep, you know, eight hours. That's the big one. But then also during the day, you know, about every 90 minutes to 2 hours, you have to take a break. You have to rest the brain. And then the replenish part is, you know, eat a little something, keep your energy reserves up. And that's a real thing because, you know, a lot of people, they diet or they deprive their body of water and nutrition throughout the day. And we now know, and we have really sophisticated tools and instruments that can show us that every time we make a decision, the glucose drops in our brain. Every single time. We can measure it now. In fact, for the readers who've read the book, The One Thing, fantastic book, highly recommend it. They talk about a study in which they did over 1,100 probation judges. And they watched them over a period of a year, thousands and thousands of decisions, and they mapped it. And every single one of them, if you came in first thing in the morning to see if you could be released from prison and go back to your family and your community, if your time to get in front of the judge was first thing, you had a 60% chance of parole.
Mm-hmm.
But if you came in just 90 short minutes later, your chances of parole actually dropped close to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would take a small break, they would replenish, and then you come back up and your chances of parole would go up into the mid-50s and then drop to zero.
Right.
They would take their break, come back in, and it was a repetition. It was so clear across all those judges and all those decisions. So we joke, you know, that the moral of the story was have your parole hearings early.
Right.
That would be the one. Right. But in reality, it was one of the first studies to show that the fatigue that we sometimes feel in our mind is one, real, and mm-hmm. number two, preventable.
Right. Yeah. You've said a lot. And certainly this study is a prime example of, and certainly the science behind it. But for those listening today, you might be a morning person or you could be a night person. There's really no one's better than the other, but it's important for you to understand. And I would suggest that you do the simple act of tracking your, again, not the work that you're doing, but are you focused and what is your energy level? So go back over the last week and just keep it tracking and you can be surprised about it. I mean, I know in my own personal case, when I was writing my first book, I consider myself a morning person, but really I couldn't write until night. So if every person that's different, so I would suggest the first step is to understand your energy levels and where you are. And I think, Bobby, you're exactly right that your energy levels are really in 90-minute slots. And what's very important is that when that 90 minutes is up, that's what your brain can focus on, is that you're making a choice to what to work on next. And if you don't really replenish, you will end up choosing maybe not the right task, which is, I think, a lot of the reason why prospecting doesn't seem to get done by a lot of originators. So the energy level and when you're at your best is really what we're all saying. And Bobby, anything you would add?
Yeah, you bring up an important point, because if you talk to some authors or even some coaches I've heard, I just heard a manager, I was shadowing a manager, and I just heard them literally a week ago tell their employee that if they wanted to be more productive, they needed to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning,
right,
and get more done by 7 than anyone else. And then, of course, she would have these breakthroughs.
Right.
And that's overly prescriptive because, to your point, there are morning people, there are night people. When you do your best work is really an individual thing. But there are a couple of caveats. The 90-minute break, every 90 minutes to 2 hours, if you can do it and you can have a small snack, we know that regardless of when you're actually doing your work, whether it's 2 a.m. or 2 p.m., that that's a habit or a practice that keeps the glucose high. And we also know that the 8 hours of sleep, remember the guys in the 90s, I can sleep when I'm dead, and they would just tell you, work your tail off, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, at whatever the consequence. We found out that that's not such good advice. And again, those hours don't have to be straight through. Maybe you can't sleep 8 hours through. They've done studies that if you pick up a nap or you sleep 4 hours, you get up for an hour, you sleep another four, that's still okay, but you've got to have the eight.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, there's no question that what we're saying, I mean, most people will ask you to track what you actually did. This is really more tracking, you know, what is your attention level and energy level at different points of the day so you understand yourself. And a lot of times, there's not a real understanding. You can't stay at the same level all day. But you have to recognize that when you're at your best, that you deliver your best, which leads to this whole issue of what happens. Why does wasting of time happen? And when you look at different surveys, really almost 70% of the time of a salesperson, an originator, is doing what I call busy work. They call it pipeline managing. But the reality is that the originator is not selling. They're doing everything but selling.
Well, you know, there's two things that could be, we see it, right? There's two things that could be at the root. You know, one could be it's a delay tactic because they're either they don't know exactly what to do or they haven't done enough to have a comfort level there.
Right.
And so they're stalling. The second one is that they just don't have enough on their plate for the day to keep them moving. Because, you know, again, an unplanned day, if I only have two or three things on my plate, surprise, surprise, I get two or three done. If my expectations get more and there's 5 to 6 out of the day and I know what I'm supposed to be doing, I can measure if it's done or not and it's clear, then my productivity goes up. So, you know, generally it's one of the two, and that's that focus habits. That's zone number two that I talked about. Having a system in place that you are creating clear expectations for yourself or your staff, making sure that they are a little bit of a stretch so that they've got to hustle a little bit through the day to make it happen, and then giving them the tools to succeed at it.
Well, I think you're right on. And I would say that people tend to waste. If we recognize that you're effective for a 90-minute period, and then you certainly go down, and then that's where another activity gets chosen to be done. And that period of making that choice is where we work on what's called habit, where we'll make a choice because we've developed a habit of maybe looking at files or whatever we're doing, instead of putting back in our day. What you're really talking about is having some type of structure of recognizing when that person's at their best and what activities they should be doing. And I think when you're a salesperson, your main activity is to prospect. That's why you're there. And so I want to be at my best at whatever point of the day it is. And I should be doing my most important task at that point. What ends up happening when the 90 minutes of effectiveness is over and it's now a choice of another 90 minutes, this is when habits take over. As human beings, we are very much controlled by habits because we don't want to think about them. But that can be actually a detriment when you're a salesperson, because we can move into this issue of pipeline managing, which is really another stall tactic and a delay of why you're not doing selling activities.
Yeah, and you've said a word a couple times that's a critical word, and that's the word habit.
Mm-hmm.
Studies show habits actually control 40% of what we get done in the day. 40%. And that's massive. And we can have good habits and we can have bad habits.
Right.
And then the way I liken it is most of us can get up in the morning and we can go through our morning routine, out of bed, brush teeth, shower, get ready, out the door. Most of us even drive to work and we don't have to pay a lot of attention to it.
Like right.
We've done it so many times that it's pretty much an autopilot and it goes pretty much the same way every single morning. And in fact, if something happens in the morning that messes up the routine, it can make the morning more difficult. Like we can kind of lose our mojo. Being able to build productivity habits that take advantage of that and make sure that you've got most of your day installed almost on autopilot is one of the keys that top performers use. And that's where the tactics that the books are really famous for, because a lot of the books I like to focus on one or two key ideas and drive it home. That's an area that you can read a lot of great things on, because that's where time blocking comes into play. And that's where, you know, using a day planner or using an online list or calendar system, whatever works for you. And to your point on energy, how you had to make sure you understood what works for you and what doesn't, because it's personal. The same thing goes with your focus habits. Just because the guy next to you uses a really cool computer program to plan and maximize her day doesn't mean that's the best for you. I learned a couple years ago, I love technology. I love my gadgets. But I learned a couple years ago that when it comes to planning my day and being creative, I'm actually better with a pen and paper and an old style planner, because the art of writing it out and doing it somehow focuses me and makes it easier. So that's another area you have to play with. Don't just listen to what some guru says. Play with it a little bit.
Right. Well, you've entered in this topic of, under the time wasters, the most important one, I think, for loan officers and originators today is, because of the internet, email by itself has moved into taking over the day of a salesperson. And when you think about it, certainly there's lots of advantages of having recent contacts regarding whatever information you're getting. But if you don't block your day to access these things in a finite way, you're going to end up doing a distraction, which is looking at your emails and your internet. And I would say for most originators, that's the primary reason that their day goes by. They're busy, but not busy at selling activities. They're busy because of the internet.
Yeah. If you just pick two things to do as far as focus habits, things that will help you focus and get more done in a short block of time, because really that's the ultimate measurement of productivity, is how much can I get done in a 45-minute to 90-minute block? And you want to play the game of trying to get more and more done, because that's how you get out of work on time, is by playing that game in 45-minute, 90-minute blocks and winning at that game. So shutting information off, and I mean shutting it off. The phone on vibrate is still an interruption when it vibrates. Your right. attention still moves. Turn the email off. And anything can wait 45 minutes if it means that you prevent tomorrow's interruptions. Because that's at some point, you've got to get ahead of the curve. The reason why today's interruptions are what they are is something wasn't done right the day before. So it's a self-feeding thing. Second thing you've got to do is you've got to quit thinking you're a great multitasker, because that's a myth. It's been debunked. There's so many studies out there on it now. In fact, if you Google multitasking now, you'll start seeing immediately a lot of articles and things on switch tasking. Anybody who's in the know won't even call it multitasking anymore, because that's not an accurate description. And by switching, our attention goes back and forth. And they, for every interruption, especially for thinkers, people who get paid to do a job like underwrite or process, or if you're in the middle setting up a new file, if you're a loan officer, those very intense tasks, it can take you up to 25 minutes to get 100% centered to where you were before the interruption.
Right. Well, I think that we've talked a lot about productivity and how to increase your productivity. So we only have a few minutes left today. What would be kind of the three takeaways that you would have for our listeners?
I'll give everybody one, because I think sometimes we can get caught up in almost too many things. And that is, start looking at productivity as a blending of events that allows you to get more done in a certain window of time. Mm-hmm. And start playing the game, like, what do I have to do to get more done? And I don't care what block it is. Maybe it's a 45-minute block that works for me, or a 60-minute block. But you start playing a game with yourself. I'm going to get X amount of done in the next hour. Measure what's in your way. Figure out. Remove it. Improve it. And then come back tomorrow. And then try to get more done in that hour block. Sprint in small blocks through your day. Focus on that measurement of productivity, and you'll make real progress.
Well, they are great points. I'd like to recommend a book, and one that I think, although there's lots of them out there on it, but one that I read recently that I think is really right on and talks a lot about the what he calls the biological prime time, and each of us have different biological prime times, and you have to understand what yours is. But the book's called The Productivity Project, and it's by Chris Bailey. And he talks about managing time in conjunction with your attention and energy. He has practical solutions and certainly talks about all the current issues that you face today, which is certainly because of the internet and a whole list of things. So highly recommend it. I think it's a great book. And certainly, I do think it's worth reading. Bobby, anything else that we want to share today?
No, that's it for me. I appreciate it. We'll talk to everybody next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And everybody have a great week.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager. And you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.